Hello and welcome to Shoot the Defense on FNX. I'm your host, Stel, and this is a very special edition known as Blast from the Past Reloaded. Now, those of you who've been listening to the show for a while will know that we do a show called Blast from the Past where I and a few others will pick a game from the past and we'll review it. We'll talk about the team lineups, we'll talk about the match itself, key moments, and just to get a little bit nostalgic and have a bit of fun. Well, I'm bringing that feature back, but with a bit of a twist. Now, what I'm doing with Shoot the Defense, Blast from the Past Reloaded, I know that's a mouthful, I'm just going to call you Blast from the Past Reloaded, really. I'm going to pick a match from the coming weekend's fixtures and then trawl through the archives and look for a game from the past and just review it. Pretty simple, isn't it? Now, the game I've picked is Tottenham versus Arsenal. The North London derby, the derby where a lot of fans believe is probably the most entertaining in England at the moment. And to be fair, when you look at the previous results between the two sides, I don't think anyone can argue it's the most entertaining. It's more entertaining than United Liverpool, it's more entertaining than United City, and I'd say more entertaining than Liverpool Everton. Now, those two are playing this weekend, but I'm not going to go into that one because, well, you know, it's going to take up too much of my time because I know this game is going to take a bit of a while. So what happened back in 1995-96 season? Well, let's talk about Spurs because Spurs weren't as good as what they are now. Let's just put it that way. I mean, all you have to do is just look at their away kit. You just know how bad it was. You know, they had that purple kit with navy blue stripes and that nasty Hewlett-Packard logo. It was disgusting. Their third kit was actually better than their second kit. But yeah, it was a bit of a horrible start to the summer for Spurs fans, really. Klinsmann was sold, Popescu was sold, Barmby was sold. Jerry Francis was on hiding to nothing even before the season started. And I know a lot of fans were really, really annoyed with the signing of Chris Armstrong. They brought him for £4.5 million from Crystal Palace. It was actually their record signing. Fans were singing, what a waste of money. And I really felt sorry for Chris Armstrong back then because, you know, he was a half-decent footballer and it wasn't his fault that Spurs spent that much amount of money for him. He did really well at Crystal Palace. You know, he was having a bit of a purple patch. So, of course, they're going to sign a player that's in form. And if you can get him for the price that they did back then fair enough, you know. But Spurs spent big on Ruud Fox, another very, very good footballer. You know, I remember Ruud Fox at Newcastle, bags of pace, skill, tricky, really, really tricky winger. I think him and Kanchelskis were two of the fastest wingers in the league at the time. Absolutely fantastic footballer. They also brought in Andy Sinton from Sheffield Wednesday. Andy Sinton was a pretty decent left winger as well. Had a few caps for England. And he actually scored the first ever Monday night football goal on Sky. It was for QPR in the 1-1 draw against Man City. Remember that one? Another cracking strike. And Spurs also signed Clive Wilson. He came in on a free transfer from QPR. So I guess Jerry Francis knew all about him from his days as QPR manager. But the Spurs squad was pretty decent, I'd say. Ian Walker was their number one. Eric Torso was coming to the back end of his career. So Ian Walker had come through the ranks. And, you know, his dad, Mike, was, I think Mike Walker was at Norwich at the time as manager. Their back four normally was Dean Austin, Justin Edinburgh, Colin Cordwood and Gary Mabbott. Fantastic central defender Gary Mabbott was. Absolutely top-notch. I remember that injury he sustained from John Fashanu, big elbow, broke his eye socket, I believe, in his cheekbone, if I'm not mistaken. But Gary Mabbott actually had diabetes and had to take insulin before games and whatnot. And yeah, he still kept plugging away, man. He was a fantastic footballer, very, very underrated. I think he only received, again, my memory is just rubbish at the moment, but didn't he only get like one England cap or something like that? I think he got one. Was it more than that? I'm sure as well. He must have got about 15, 16 caps for England, something along those lines. I said my memory's rubbish when it comes to that. But Gary Mabbott probably should have got more England caps. But at the same time, when you look at the quality of central defenders that are available back in those days, you know, the Tony Adams, Sol Campbell, Gary Pallister, Steve Bruce. You know, England was blessed with decent central defenders. Mark Wright was there. He was playing straight at Liverpool. So yeah, they had a plethora of talent in central defence. Colin Cordwood, I mentioned, no-nonsense central defender, didn't take anything from anyone. fantastic. He's a traditional British central defender should be like, you know, in the currently like a kind of like a Terry Butcher kind of mold, but not as good. No disrespect or anything. Spurs had the likes of Darren Anderson there, another player that probably should have done a lot better than what he did. He was cruelly named sick note because of all the injuries that he received, but was it more psychological or was it an injury that no one really knew how to resolve back in those days? You know, I'm pretty sure that if Darren Anderson was playing these days, he wouldn't be so injury prone. I know Kieran Dyer went on the True Geordie podcast and spoke about an injury that he had, and you know, after all the X-rays and whatnot that he had, you know, the Newcastle medical staff couldn't figure out what it was, and then he went to a traditional, an old school physio doctor, and they spotted what it was, and they could have saved his career had they picked it up sooner. Spurs also had the likes of Teddy Sheringham, who was one of the best English forwards I've ever seen. Teddy Sheringham was absolutely fantastic. His movement off the ball, his vision, his technique, he was fantastic. I mean, just ask Alan Shearer about Teddy Sheringham. Absolutely fantastic. I mentioned Chris Armstrong there. Also had Jason Dazell. Jason Dazell, another player who probably, well, definitely didn't hit the heights that he was tipped to reach. Had a very good spell at Ipswich Town. And then that's one summer he left. And at the same time, he left with Chris Kiwomia, another very good Ipswich Town striker. One went to Arsenal, one went to Spurs, and neither of them really excelled. But yeah, Spurs had a decent squad back then. They had Ronnie Rosenthal, who unfortunately would probably be better known for his miss from 6 yards against Aston Villa rather than the hat-trick he scored at Southampton for Spurs. But very tricky player. Ronnie Rosenthal was very, very tricky, but rapid pace as well. But then they had the likes of David Kerslake, Jason Cundy, who I'm sure you guys know about, Stephen Carr, who later went on to have a very, very good career at Spurs. Also had a spell at Newcastle. Steve Slade, another guy who probably no one knows about, but Stephen Slade was a very, very good youngster. Had a lot of talent, very promising coming through. But yeah, again, another player that didn't really make the strides that he possibly should have had. I think he only played about 20-odd games at Spurs in 2 years. Then he ended up at QPR. Ray Wilkins signed him for, I think, was it $400,000 or something like that? Played about 70-odd games, but then he ended up going to Cambridge and going to other clubs and ended his career in Ware, funny enough. Represented England under 21 level, played in the Toulon tournament. But yeah, that was pretty much the only taste of international football that he had. And I don't know really what happened to him. I don't know whether it was injuries, I don't know whether it was attitude, or maybe it was just unfortunate. But yeah, Stephen Slade, I don't know what happened with him, to be fair. So yeah, that was Spurs' squad at the time. And as I said, they sold a lot of players that summer. You know, Klinsmann had gone, Barmby, Popescu, as I mentioned before, and Ilie Dumitrescu was sold to West Ham. And I really liked Dumitrescu. He was a pretty decent player. But again, coming to the Premier League back then as a foreign player, it was very difficult for him to settle. Perhaps, again, perhaps if we fast forward 20-odd years, you know, he may have excelled and may have done better. But yeah. Moving on to Arsenal, another side that was in a bit of trouble. George Graham had gone. They'd sacked him because of his, how shall we say, irregular payments. I don't know, is that right? He took bungs, didn't he? You know? But they had players like John Jensen, they had Glenn Helder, and Bruce Rioch had come in to take the reins. He signed David Platt and Dennis Bergkamp, two players that, you know, went on to do fantastic things for Arsenal, especially Dennis Bergkamp, you know, club legend. And when you look at how much they spent on Bergkamp, man, £7.5 million. I mean, that's £7.5 million. What does that get you these days? I don't even know. But I seem to remember that Arsenal squad at the time, they had a lot of players that actually came through their youth system. Ray Parlour was there, Ian Selly, Paul Dickov, Mark Flats, Lee Harper, good friend of the show. But obviously, the old guard was still there. Dixon, Winterburn, Bold Adams, Ian Wright was there, Paul Merson, another player from the academy, Andy Linnigan, who we all know scored that famous win against Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup final. Oh, Steve Morrow was also there. Steve Morrow, yeah, the guy that broke his shoulder, should I say, was backdropped by Tony Adams after the League Cup final and broke his shoulder. Yeah, that's an interesting one, yeah. John Hartson, another decent striker. And I like John Hartson. He was a very unorthodox striker. He had his best time at West Ham, to be fair, when he joined with Kitson. That was probably his best spell. He had a decent spell at Celtic, but I think his time at West Ham was probably his best. So, yeah, it was a half-decent Arsenal squad, but as for the game itself, it was what you'd expect from a North London derby in the 90s. Very bitty, both fans at each other, the Arsenal fans in full voice, Spurs fans themselves. Very, very hostile game to be playing in. And Spurs lined up with Ian Walker in goal, back four of Dean Austin, Colin Calderwood, Sol Campbell and Gary Mabbutt. In fact, Sol Campbell played at left back because of injuries. And that was back when Sol Campbell could practically play in every position. I remember Sol Campbell when he first broke through at Spurs. He was a striker. I think he scored on his debut in a cup game, I think. Again, just correct me if I'm wrong, because my memory just is rubbish at the moment. I think my brain's like a lava lamp. But yeah, I remember Sol Campbell playing as a striker up front for Spurs. And then he slotted at centre-back. And he had a long spell at left-back. And Sol Campbell was always blessed with pace and power. Right, he was a very intelligent central defender, very, very, very good. And it's not a surprise that Spurs fans were very upset when he left. Okay, fair enough, he went to Arsenal. Fair enough, he went against his word. But you're not going to be upset if a rubbish footballer leaves your club and goes to your rivals. You're not going to be bothered, are you? But Sol Campbell was elite. He was a fantastic defender. And I remember him playing at left-back once against United. I think it was the season before, actually. And it was the one, in fact, it was the first time I saw Sol Campbell skinned. And that was Andrei Kanchelskis. Sol Campbell was playing at left back and Kanchelskis absolutely destroyed him on that right hand side on Sol Campbell's left. But yeah, Sol Campbell played left back that day against Arsenal. Midfield was Ruud Fox, Ronnie Rosenthal on the wings. Central midfield, Jason Dazelle and David Howes. David Howes was another unsung hero at Spurs. He was there for quite a while. I think he played in the 91 Cup final with Paul Stewart in the middle of the park. David Howes was, again, one of those no-nonsense central midfielders. He wasn't blessed with pace. He wasn't blessed with much talent, to be fair. And this isn't me just disrespecting David Howes. I like David Howes. He was Mr. Reliable. He always gave you a 7 or 8 out of 10 performance week in, week out. In fact, I remember a game where Spurs played, I think it was Southampton. And again, this is my memory banks playing games with me. But I seem to remember David Howes was about to receive the ball in the middle of the park and the referee got in his way. And what David Howes did was literally shove the referee out of the way and got the ball. And referee didn't do anything about it. Because first of all, back then, you know, referees had common sense. And secondly, referee was in the wrong. And thirdly, you know, the game was much, much different back then. You know, referees were more lenient. But again, that goes back to my whole common sense statement. And up front for Spurs was Chris Armstrong and Teddy Sheringham. Also lined up with a back five. It was Seaman in goal. Two wing-backs were Lee Dixon and Nigel Winterburn. Three central defenders were Tony Adams, Steve Bold and Martin Keown. But Keown kind of moved a bit further up the field to kind of play in like an anchor position in front of the back four. But he was officially a central defender in that game. Midfield, Paul Merson, David Platt and Glenn Helder. Now, the interesting thing about this system is that Paul Merson kind of switched out wide to the right. Glenn Helder drifted wide left, obviously, which enabled Keown and Platt to play central midfield when the fullbacks were getting forward. So it was a very interesting system that Bruce Rioch played. But at the same time, it kind of left Arsenal, exposed in the middle of the park whenever there was a set piece, because obviously the three central defenders would go up for the corners. Platt would be in the box and they would basically be exposed, but which I'll go into in just a bit. And up front was Bergkamp and Hartson. Not the kind of front line you'd expect at Arsenal, but yeah, it was a half-decent front line. So what about the game itself? Well, again, as I said earlier, it was feisty, it was bitty, challenges going in, referees letting certain challenges go. It was a back and forth, and to be fair, when you want to talk about counter-attacking football, not many people realise how well both teams played on the break. They had a lot of pace going forward, which is obviously what you need. But they had, you know, this this creativity as well. As you know, Spurs were no slouches. Rule Fox was tricky. He was quick. Teddy Sheringham, Ronnie Rosenthal were industrious. And, you know, Chris Armstrong was rapid. And Jason Dezell could pick a pass. Whereas Arsenal had the same sort of thing with Paul Merson, creative footballer. Merson had proper legs back then. Merson could really play football back then. I think, you know, he was... How old was he at the time? Must have been mid-20s. Must have been mid-20s at the time. I got to say that. I think he was. I'm going to have to look into this one because it's going to really bug me. I think Merson must have been 25, 26, 27 at a push back in 95. But he had legs back then. Glenn Helder was quick. Very, very quick footballer. And had a few skills in his locker as well. And I think Glenn Helder got a bit of a rough time at Arsenal because he came in around about the time when they were in a bit of a transitional period. We knew Arsenal weren't going to be this title-challenging side that they were in years prior to that. You know, they had a great winger in Anders Limpar on the left, and Anders Limpar practically had everything you wanted in a winger. You know, absolutely fantastic. But Glenn Helder came in to kind of be his replacement, and he didn't reach the heights they'd have expected him to. And again, I don't think it's the guy's fault. When you're coming from a foreign league, it's difficult to settle. I know the Dutch are kind of hot and cold when it comes to the Premier League. You know, a lot of them do really well, and a lot of them have failed. And Glenn Helder, unfortunately, was one of them. But I think had he been given a bit more time and under a different manager, I think Wenger was the one that sold him, to be fair. So what do I know? But he may have come good. Perhaps he should have gone to another Premier League club. But anyway, it is what it is. But again, as for the game, Glenn Helder actually had the first chance. Ball was played to him on the wide left, cut inside, then he drew the shot well wide. It wasn't going to trouble the goalkeeper. But first goal came in the first 15 to 20 minutes. Dennis Bergkamp opened the scoring, and it was one of those counter-attacking goals. As I mentioned before, both teams were really, really good at the counter. Ball was actually played through Sol Campbell's legs, funny enough. Hartson laid it wide to David Platt, who crossed the ball in the box, and there was Dennis Bergkamp, 7-8 yards out, half volley. In fact, was it a full volley, actually? I think it was a full volley, if I remember rightly. Ball dropped to him, yeah, full volley. Put in the bottom left, or the goalkeeper's bottom left, our bottom right. Wrong foot the goalkeeper, Walker went right. Bergkamp played the ball on the left-hand side. In fact, he actually hit the ball into the ground, funny enough. And I know Ozil's very well known for doing that these days, passing the ball, drilling it into the ground. And yeah, Arsenal took the lead in the opening 15 minutes. But 15 minutes later, Arsenal broke forward thinking that they were going to get a second one. Colin Calderwood cut out a cross into the box. And from the resulting corner, Spurs just broke. And it came from Chris Armstrong flicking it over to Rule Fox, who just darted towards Nigel Winterburn, did a step over, did a second one, got himself an extra 2 yards, crossed the ball in the box, and there was Teddy Sheringham unmarked to head it in, and Sheringham wasn't going to miss from 5 yards out. And that was the quality that Spurs had back then. You know, they talk about the winger dying, you know, we don't have any quality wingers. Okay, fair enough, you've got your Sanes, you've got all these other players, your Sterlings, but as I said before, Rule Fox was one of the unsung heroes, and his ball into the box was absolutely fantastic. The central defender, I think it was Tony Adams at the time, didn't get anywhere near it. He dived, tried to head it away, and I think even if he did get contact with it, it would have gone in his own net. But it was a great header from Sheringham. It was a stooping header as well. Very, very difficult one to do, really. More of the same throughout the game, really. Arsenal were breaking counter-attack football, Spurs the same. But at half-time, it ended 1-1. There was only one goal in the second half, and it came to Spurs. And it was that man, Chris Armstrong, the guy who people believed was a total waste of money. Funny enough, the goal came from Dennis Bergkamp being dispossessed by Gary Mabbott. He played the ball forward to Chris Armstrong, who laid it off to Sheringham, and Armstrong was absolutely fantastic with this goal. Ball's laid off to him by Teddy Sheringham, and this goal was absolutely fantastic. He took one touch. Steve Bold came in with a slide tackle, took another touch around him and absolutely buried it in the bottom corner. Seaman had absolutely no chance. And, you know, you just need to watch this goal again and just see how quick his feet were when he latched onto the ball. Because Sheringham was in acres of space anyway. And you don't give Teddy Sheringham that kind of space. But, you know, Armstrong's first touch effectively was going to get him a goal, because when it came to him, instep of the foot, took it round Steve Bold and just walloped it in the bottom corner. Absolutely fantastic strike. And, you know, if this goal was scored by any other footballer, like, I don't know, a Cantona or a Zola or a Bergkamp, people would have been creaming over this goal. But because it's Chris Armstrong, no one really said too much. But you could tell a weight was lifted off his shoulders when that ball went in the back of the net. It was an absolutely fantastic finish. When Spurs grabbed that second goal, I think it took the wind out of Arsenal. It really did. I know they had their chances at the end. Tony Adams headed wide. Adams had another chance. He almost got in the end of a John Hartson header, but it was cleared by Calder on the edge of the box. Paul Merson had a shot that stung the keeper's hands. But it was one of those games where you just knew that no matter what Arsenal threw at Spurs, they weren't going to get anything out of the game. Spurs had the rub of the green and they earned the 3 points. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to play the audio of the actual game itself. It's the highlights. It's about 18 minutes long. So those of you that remember the game, feel free to let me know what you recollect. What do you remember about it? What would you make of that season? Because as I said, it wasn't a great season for both of them, especially Arsenal. So yeah, just let me know what you think. So if you enjoyed this show, please feel free to tweet me at Uncle Stell. And there's also a Twitter account, obviously, for Shoot the Defence, at Shoot the Defence. So yeah, let me know what you think. This was my first show doing this on my own. My recollections, I haven't got a script or anything, so all of this is basically ad-lib. So yeah, if there's anything that you feel I need to improve on or change, or maybe get someone else on to help me, yeah, that'd be great. So until next time, guys, enjoy the audio and take care.
The referee really couldn't have been chosen from further away. Alan Wilkie comes from Newcastle. Tottenham to kick off. Arsenal have been in excellent form of their last 11 matches in league and cup. They've won 9. They've just been beaten twice all season. They have the traditional consistency. Spurs equally traditionally perhaps are harder to predict. Long from Mavet. First challenge in the air from Adams. Cleared by Dixon. You can expect the tackles to be flying in. The spectators demand that. Wilcox has given it away to Dixon. Merson going to his right. Dixon forth through a more central route. And now he's out of position. Rosenthal switching his position. He didn't get very far. Bergkamp. Hartson nicely screening it for Helder to take on the run. But he's not the best finisher. And he's still awaiting his first Arsenal goal. But in most matches he's played, he's got into a position where he challenges the opponent's goal. And here was an early one in this game. In the end, Walker not required. Merson. Hartson. Merson wants it back. Merson gets it back. Early ball for Bergkamp. Brilliant play from Arsenal. Absolutely brilliant goal. The signs were there. They were putting their passes together. But they hadn't really looked like penetrating. They have done now after 14 minutes. And Tottenham ripped apart here. Often Arsenal known for their tenacity rather than their technique. But this was stunning play. A superb finish. And Dennis Bergkamp, the boyhood Spurs fan, makes the current Spurs fans disheartened here. It's Tottenham 0, Arsenal 1. Well, the gauntlet well and truly thrown down to Tottenham here. Arsenal have started very well indeed. But now, Ronnie Rosenthal gets behind them. Sheringham! Not in keeping with his recent finishing. Good run by Rosenthal. Arsenal stretch this time. Sheringham very, very confident in front of goal. And normally his technique is better than that. Held up, well found by Platt. Hartson hoping it would come to him. Calderwood, as he fell, still able to stick out a foot and steer the ball away. But Helder got between two then. Arsenal have a corner. Steve Bould comes up towards the near post. So often the player who touches on so effectively, it's a shorter routine from Arsenal this time. Hartson won the header at the far post. Forward by Dezel. And from made it his. Fox. Three up for Tottenham. Arsenal have three, now four back. Fox. It's gone in from Teddy Sheringham. Despite the efforts of Adams, despite the efforts of Seaman. And Spurs have struck back after 29 minutes. Seconds after they were defending an Arsenal corner. But Fox got his cross in. And Sheringham stooping there. It looked for a second as though Seaman had saved it. But he hadn't. So Sheringham gets his 13th goal of the season for his club. It's been a great week for him, following on his strike against Switzerland at Wembley for his country. Helder on the ball. Bergkamp. Austin got to it. Helder didn't for Arsenal. Platt beaten by Howells, and Keown got a foot in. Got the bar for a bit of time. He felt they needed it. They committed numbers forward, including Adams. Fox. Armstrong. And it's straight at Seaman from Sheringham this time. And that was Sheringham's latest effort. Real battle for power at the start of the second half. To a backdrop of noise. Bergkamp. Merson. Only Hartson in the penalty area for Arsenal. Bergkamp looks for him. And John Hartson outnumbered. And not really supported by the quality of the cross then. Sheringham. Sheringham spreading the play for Spurs, for Fox. In towards Sheringham again. Well read by Adams. Ooh, Winterburn took a risk with a pass into that area. But the pass was a fine one as it turned out. But Arsenal haven't been able to recapture, really, the rhythm that they showed in the opening 20 minutes of the game. Armstrong, Chris Armstrong for Tottenham. Tottenham have taken the lead. A magnificent piece of play from the scorer in the 10th minute of the second half. A match that started badly for Spurs. It has a much rosier hue to it now. He picked his way round Steve Bould, did Chris Armstrong, and fired it into the corner. This was a crucial moment here as Bould committed himself. Armstrong beautifully balanced. Much criticised when he was signed, but the joy for the scorer there. Those critics are now beginning to eat their words. Armstrong has found the goal touch that Jerry Francis felt he was capable of. And the manager who did a lot to improve Les Ferdinand when the two were together at Queen's Park Rangers is certainly helping Chris Armstrong justify his transfer fee. Giselle. In comes David Howells. Sheringham. Howells continued his run and Arsenal haven't tracked him. Oh, and it's a crucial touch from Adams. Just look at Ronnie Rosenthal coming in, thinking he was going to score. Adams had other ideas. Lovely play between Howells and Sheringham to set it up. Another Tottenham corner. Keown, but it comes for Howells, and the midfield man who did begin his life in Tottenham's first team as a forward perhaps showed why he's made more of a career for himself in midfield. This is Merson. That was Giselle. Shape of the game suiting Spurs, you sense at the moment. They're drawing Arsenal forward and making opportunities on the break. Fox. Oh, Seaman flipped on, recovered somehow when Sheringham came diving in. Seaman stuck out a foot, having lost his footing a moment earlier. Down he went. Up he got, and it stays at 2-1, and Sheringham is denied again. Here's Howells. Well, they're certainly carving out the opening shot, and that was Rosenthal. And they've had enough chances, Jerry Francis will feel here, to put this game beyond Arsenal's reach. But Rosenthal couldn't keep his header down. Here's Platt. Winterberg. Different challenge now for Dean Austin in the shape of Merson. Hartson. Calderwood at his back. Releasing Merson beautifully. Walker. Strong as Merson cut in, and the interplay with Hartson was of a high order. There was plenty of velocity in the shot, and Ian Walker refusing to be knocked over by it. Dixon's cross and Walker's catch. The combination here was well orchestrated by Merson and Hartson. Shot that certainly stung Ian Walker, but he kept Tottenham in front. Sheringham, space here for Giselle. Armstrong, just enough on it to reach Fox. Austin's cross. Now Howells. Sheringham. Armstrong! Flag was up. But there are times when Spurs are coming so strongly through midfield, they're picking up the loose ball in that area. And that led to another threat to the Arsenal goal, but Armstrong diving in was offside. Hartson trying to chip Walker, who was worried for a second or two. Well, John Hartson almost manufacturing there a goal worthy of the player he's replaced today, Ian Wright. It was an ambitious try, but he wasn't too far away from pulling it off. Keogh. Mercer. Austin came a long way to get to Winterburn. Hartson. And that's going to be an Arsenal corner. Mercer to take the corner. Goal couldn't quite glance it on that time. Hillier back to Mercer again. Tottenham not out of the wood here, not by any means. Well, Tony Adams craned his neck forward then. Well, you'd have bet on Adams putting this one in. Not easy, had to fight for the right to get there, but it hit the net on the outside. Another climb on the ball this time by Calderwood. All hands to the pump in an attacking sense for Arsenal. Everyone but Armstrong is drawn by Spurs to defend. Merson takes it. Hartson! Oh! And Steve Ball stretching in. But it is a corner, I think. Where the Bowles has just beaten through it. Must have been. Arsenal looking for a grandstand finish here. Spurs trying to keep them out. Merton's corner. It's Lee Dixon on his left foot, not his best foot. Great joy for Spurs in the clearance from Campbell. And we are into stoppage time. Bergkamp chasing in vain. Well, you wouldn't have expected these things 20 minutes into this match. And Arsenal had set the early tempo, had taken the lead, but then Teddy Sheringham equalised. And the one goal we've seen in the second half looks as though it's going to be the one that settles it. From Chris Armstrong it is. It's the Tottenham camp who can hold their heads high in North London tonight. Quite a recovery after Bergkamp had scored so early for Arsenal. Teddy Sheringham equalised before half-time. And a lovely piece of work from Chris Armstrong before firing in the winner. The proper way to mark the start of Gerry Francis' second year in charge of White Hart Lane. So the delight of winning in a derby goes to Tottenham. And in the league table tonight, they're now only 2 points behind Arsenal. Tottenham Hotspur 2, Arsenal 1. It was a splendid North London derby.